There's some funnel cakes out there being made, yes? Did y'all come in with those? Amen. Those are good, right? If you're with those, you're sinning. No, you're not supposed to have food right now. Just joking. Just said, share, save me a bite. Amen. And a couple of things I just want to, it's a Memorial Day weekend, of course, and many of you are off tomorrow. It's not really about the mattress that you'll get on sale or the barbecue pit or whatever. How many of you know that? It's a sacred day for our country and what we've done. And so we thank God that you're able to celebrate this day. And remember, at the end of our message, we'll show actually a tribute towards that. And so just thankful for the men and women that gave our lives so we would have freedom. And we're blessed today. Amen. So a couple of things just noteworthy this past week. We fed John Jay students right next door towards the end of the year. About 600 of them showed up. Real count. We're not fluffy numbers. And it was just amazing. And about 30 people, I would say 20 to 30 people came at different times. Some stuck it out through the whole, and I don't know how you did it, but in the middle of all that activity, thank God for the 30 people, but in the middle of all that activity was organized a person that was helped us to do the work, and that was Helen. We just want to thank you, Helen. Miss Helen, you did a great job, and just saw a harvest of young people come in, and you made a way for us and inspired us. All it takes is a leader, and she leads well, right, everybody? So thank God for the gift of people in our church today. And this coming Wednesday, there's something that you say, you know, I'd like to help out and do some things. Well, I'm glad you asked. Church Clean Day. We do it every year. We're going to go and do it. Have you ever noticed about clean freaks? I mean, clean people. They always have like a system, or they have their own cleaner that they've made. They're just kind of weird that way. And their own way of cleaning, or their own solution. They made it. I made this out of lemon juice and vinegar, and it does, you know, cleans everything or whatever. If you're that sort of person, we'd love to have you come help. There's no qualifications. Just come help. Roll up your sleeves. 6:45. We'll meet in the student center and that sort of thing, and clean. There's probably something that you've been wanting. Man, you know, you might say, I hate that spot in that area of the building, and I'm going to make that my project to eliminate that spot. That could be you Wednesday. Or it could be somebody else, and I pray it's you the way you're looking at me. Amen. We're going to clean on Wednesday. Is that cool? So show up and help me clean, and we'll be part of it. Let's roll up our sleeves, make our house of the Lord look good. We don't do this often, but let's do it this year. Amen. Finally, that's a weak amen, but I'll take it. Finally, a couple of things that are real noteworthy. Early voting begins this week, and I'd love for you to go vote, and I'm really commissioning you as a church to go vote. The Bible says that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Amen. It tells us to vote for, pray for governing authorities over us. It's biblical to do that. Jesus spoke about to render Caesar what was Caesar's. You might say, well, it's the end times. It's not going to get any better. No, Jesus said to occupy until he comes. Amen. That means that you do everything you can to have righteousness in your city. And so, Jesus, thank God he wasn't a Democrat and he wasn't a Republican before some of y'all say amen real loud. He took over. And I just think it's time that, do you know, in this last election, that's why there's a runoff right now. We're getting another chance to vote. That only 10% of people that were registered to vote, only 10% of our city voted. Isn't that a shame? And I would ask you, even right now, not to embarrass anybody, but raise your hand if you voted. You don't need to do that. Amen. Okay, thank you. You did it anyway. So if you voted, if you didn't, I'm coming after you right now. Go vote. Vote. Amen. You're a Christian. Vote righteousness. Vote the Bible. Vote what's right. Amen. No one's going to be perfect. We're going to elect a mayor, but I want you to vote. If you're interested on whom I'm voting for, you can see me after church, or you can look on my Facebook page. You'll see it. Amen. So, I say, well, is he the right? He's the one that I feel that God has put at this hour for us to have. Amen. So you need to go vote this week. Go before the crowd. And what's sad is when I went to vote, there was one person ahead of me, and that was early voting. So what can you do to make a difference? Take time to vote and do that, and let's change our city. Let's send a statement to the nation that we're voting righteousness in. Amen? Amen. Finally, the last one is this. Summer small groups. You're beginning, as you heard in the announcements, we're going to begin this quarter. What's great about summer small groups, they have a beginning at summer, and they can end at summer. which is okay. You can do these in your home. We'll have one actually meet tonight. Chuck and Jamie open up their home, but you can also meet in a Starbucks. We had one that met in a park last year, and it was a fit group. They didn't have a fit. They did fitness things, right? You can do the same thing. Meet anywhere you want, but be together. If you can have a bowl of tostitos, chips and dip, you can have a small group. Amen. We'll give you the goods to do that. It's time that you have a group. Amen. So go ahead and let me know about that, and we'll qualify you and do all the good things. We're anxious to put people in the leadership because you're meant to lead. Amen. Let's welcome the first-time guest at Living Faith Church. Come on. Yeah, thank the Lord that you're here. We're honored. You probably passed about 10, 20 churches on the way here, and you came to our church. And we're grateful. You're a gift from God. You're like Jesus walking in, and we welcome Jesus, and we welcome you, right? And so it'd be our honor. Make sure that you fill out that Connect card, and we'll give you a free gift. We'll be at the Welcome Center, and it'd be my wife and I, our honor to shake your hand at the Welcome Center. We love the people that God's sending to our church. We're Living Faith Church, faith that you can see as we gather, as we grow, and as we... Yeah, God put some movement to us today. Amen. Let's welcome the Facebook Live audience. Come on, they're online watching. And if you're watching, like some of our people watch from Florida and that sort of thing, where you're so faithful to watch from there. If you're ever in San Antonio, make the trip to South Texas. You'll meet some of the finest people. They're found right here at Living Faith Church. You could be part. If you're playing hooky from your church and watching us and checking us out, and make sure that you go back to your church. We're not out to steal people from churches. We're planted, amen, in the house of God. Our people are planted. But if you're looking for a church and haven't found one in the city, you move, this could be your church. Come check us out. You may be checking us out online. Do you have your message notes handy? If you don't, raise your hand high. We have a couple of people that are willing to give those to you. They're free. They're free. A couple of you have them on that side. Make sure that you get those. They make the three-hour sermon seem like just like 3 minutes, amen. But you need them in your hand, and you'll get those for you, amen, and message notes. Check in online right now. Chuck mentioned about your social media on your devices. Go ahead and check in. You can check in right there, and it floats up Living Faith. Put something of faith. I checked in at 9 a.m., so you can check in also. Spread the gospel. Share the message that we're proclaiming today to a couple of people on your Facebook. Let's get the gospel out to good people. This could change somebody's life today, right? Online, you just never underestimate what the power of God's word can do. It should spread. The gospel does that. Please do that today. I love the NBA, NFL. I love sports, and I've always loved them. I grew up as a Dallas Cowboy fan my whole life. My dad got me influenced. Roger Staubach, Bob Lilly, those are heroes of the faith to me. Are heroes of as a heroes because they're just, thank God for the Dallas Cowboys. I think I bleed blue and gray out of my veins. It's just who I am. I also love the NBA, and I need prayer because that whole Kawhi situation, I still have unforgiveness. Really need prayer about Kawhi. I don't know, you know, just, you know, he now he's leading his rat, you know, so just, it's messing with me. I don't know what to do because the Spurs should still be in the playoffs. I don't know why they went out in the first round and that sort of thing. You could tell me they didn't have Kawhi. Let's pray for our enemies in the name of Jesus, right? In football and in basketball, there's this thing called halftime. And at halftime, the coach gathers his troops or his players, and he speaks into their lives. If they're winning, he says, "Boys, keep doing the same thing. We got two more quarters to play. We got to keep the same way we brought it these first and second. You got to bring it this third and fourth quarter." NBA is the same way. The last 2 minutes of any game is critical if they're neck and neck, like sometimes they are in the NFL. And the two-minute warning for some football players have made them legends. Remember Roger Staubach and the Hail Mary? He said the Hail Mary, and he threw it, and Drew Pearson caught it, and the rest is history against the Minnesota Vikings. I was there in my living room watching it, and I shot up in the air, amen, and put my outfit on, my cowboy jersey on that day, even as a child. Yeah, amen. Good. Thank God. We're not ashamed. Amen. And so in life, where are you at right now? We could be at our halftime. Really, you could be at the two-minute warning. I don't know. God only knows our times. You say, "Well, I'm only 15, Pastor. I'm in this room. And I got all my..." Well, you don't know that. I've seen young people go to heaven, right? Just like you. So I don't know what quarter it is in your life, but whatever it is, how has life been so far, thus far, up to this point? Yeah, amen. And if you're like a human in this room, just like the Bible heroes, there's trouble that have come your way. There's failure that has come your way. In spite of it all, just like Donna just cried out, you know, in spite of all the trouble I've had, she says, I'm still blessed today. Right, everybody? Amen. Unlikely heroes, our series. And unlikely heroes are Bible characters that we can follow behind because they've already run the course that we've run and done the things that we're following in the ancient paths that they've established for us. And we, you know, there's this dog path that I have in my backyard, and I plant grass there, I water it, but it's just not going to do any good. You know why? Because my dog goes up and down by the fence line, up and down that fence line, and I follow it. But the heroes of faith, see, they've marked out a path for you already. They made it a little bit easier for you so you could go down the path and you could follow in them. And thank God, they cheer you on. You ever meet a kid, maybe he's in high school, bagging groceries at HEB or doing whatever, and you ask him, how you doing? You know, conversation, and they go, I'm doing okay. I have finals this week. And, you know, and you kind of go, you know, as a more mature person, you know what? You're going to make it because I made it through the finals. Are they going through college and they're saying, you know what? I'm looking for my degree. I'm trying to do it in 3 years. It's four. You can do that because somebody planted a church 20 years ago, we did the same. You know what? They can do it. I look at young church, and you can do this thing, amen, because I did it. I can go. I've gone before you, and it was some late nights. There was some things about being bivocational, like we see. You have trouble. You have struggles, and the heroes of faith are the same way. They can look from the grandstands of heaven because we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and they're going, rah, 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 go, 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 go. They're cheering you on. Have you ever noticed that you really can't hear one distinctive voice in a crowd cheering you on? All you hear is the roar of the crowd. What would it be if you could get one of those heroes to come down and run a lap with you or get on the field with you and speak into your ear and say, you know what, this is a key. This is where I messed up. This is where I had the greatest victory, and I want to give you those keys. And they just gave you maybe 30 minutes of their time. Wouldn't that be something that you would want to jot down and get a yellow pad and or put it into your phone and write it down? Yeah, you would. I would, too. Give me 30 minutes with a Hall of Famer, amen, a Hall of Faith person. And that's what this series is all about, of having this moment where they'd come down from the grandstands of heaven and they would be able to speak into your life and tell you about truth today. On this is my failure, but this is also my greatest victory. Right, everybody? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39, all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they all owned, Mary, they've all owned their because of their faith. It wasn't because of what they owned. It wasn't what they had in their garage or what they had in their home. That was all good. It was what they did with their faith. They had an attitude of faith. They will overcome. They will do things that God has filled them to do in their lifetime. Yet none of them, this is interesting, received what God has promised. They were looking in the Old Testament for a Savior. The Messiah, Jesus, hadn't come and died on the cross for their sins. They were looking for that one that would take away all their sin. And they were looking ahead for that. They were looking forward. One day he's coming. They didn't receive that. And then it comes in where we kick in, you and I in this room today. Verse 40, for God had something better in mind for us. Somebody say us. That means you. That means me. And so that they would not reach perfection without us. And that's a wow scripture if you can look at it. And you can just say, in other words, they're connected to you because of the race that they run. You can follow behind them and run that well-trodden path. And you can have something to look forward to. They looked forward to it. Now the victory of the cross has been established today. And now all the things that they've done, you can have a better way. You can have a more meaningful life and something to look forward to today. Imagine if an angel announced your birth. Wouldn't that be incredible? I don't know if it was a pregnancy test or if, you know, mama just, you know, say, you know what, here's another baby, and it was you. That's most of us in this room today. But an angel came and announced Samson's birth. He's in a pretty good elite group, isn't he? I think they did that for John the Baptist, and I think one other guy that was our Savior. What was his name? Yeah, an angel announced his birth too, right? It's pretty good company to keep. Imagine that the angel came and said he's going to be a Nazirite. His hair is never to be touched by a razor. That's where his devotion's going to be. That's where the vow, where he'll never cut his hair, is supposed to be. His purpose in life is to be a deliverer, the angel announced to his mother. He's going to deliver us from the wicked people, the Philistine people. And so he rose up, and Samson does all these exploits, and he does all these great things for God in his lifetime, the 19 years that he was a judge. The very end of it, he kept failing and failing, and he kept messing up, and it caught up with him. Samson was emotionally driven. I'm not saying anybody in this room is emotionally driven, but sometimes we're given over that to that spirit. Instead of being spirit-driven, we're emotional, and because of that, we get flesh-led, and we do things that we're not supposed to do. We say things that we're not supposed to. We don't ruin our lives all at once. You know how you ruin your life? One step at a time. Yeah. And he blows his life. And there you see him as he's given away his strength and his hair's cut because he gave it over to Delilah. And he said, you know what? If you cut my hair, I'll be weak like a normal man. They hollowed out his eyes. They took out his eyes. They shackled him. They shamed him. They put him on a grind mill. At the very end of his life, it's 100% shame. He's there, and he's entertaining the Philistines by grinding wheat over and over like a circus, basically freak. But why is a guy like that in Hebrews chapter 11 supposed to cheer me on? There's a bigger picture. Man that's so full of pride and so full of himself, his story doesn't end. It ends in Hebrews 11 when it mentioned that he was a man of faith. How could that be based on him today? And I want to bring that out, how you can fail forward today. You may think that you're strong. You may have the best intentions in this room today. But you need to learn from Samson about how darkness, spiritual darkness, can come in. And you need to fight the right way, not the wrong way. Many of us have based our strength in, I can get over this, I can do this, I can make the muscle, I can get my personality and win the people and do this. And it's not about, see, you're in a spiritual battle for your soul, for the legacy of your home, for the next generation, for this church even, I would even venture. And if you don't fight spiritual, you fight fleshly like Samson did, you're gonna end up as bait like he did. And it's going to be a terrible shame. I don't want the hand of God to lift off of this church. And it's a struggle at times because you want to bring in yourself like I do, even as a leader. You want to bring in different things. And if we get the hand of God, why even do church? If the hand of God is not on this church, why even do church? And by the way, well, I'm not the pastor. I'm glad I don't have to do what you got to do because you have. I own that thing. Yeah, I enter, double the accountability here, the Bible says. But you as a member, you got a good deal to do with this success on this thing. Do you understand that today? If this is where you, man, I just want, I didn't think anybody, I wanted to just be ignored here and sit in my chair. No, you got something to do with this thing. You have part of the anointing that resides here. You have part of the hand of God upon this place today. And it rests upon you today. Amen. You make a difference, in other words. Instead of backsliding, why don't you front slide towards God? Amen. I'm going to go. I used to go to a church when I was a child, and they would say this. They would prophesy your doom. If you ever leave this church, you're going to go back to your old ways. And we had a bunch of ex-drug addicts at that church. We had a bunch of ex-alcoholics, and they were saved. But you know, when they stopped coming to church, it was like when they stopped coming, they would go back to their alcoholism. They would go back to their drugs. And I would be in a car driving around, and I'd see that guy. That guy used to go to our church. Now he's a drug addict. Look at him. He's there on the highway, you know. And I was going, but I don't want to prophesy over that over anybody in this room. How about if you front slide towards Jesus? Give me a good amen. Amen. Let's make it. Let's not go back to the world that has nothing to offer you. I want to teach you to fight the right way today. Amen. And so when you think that you see clearly on your own, Samson would say, you don't have to lose your eyes to be blind. Relationships are everything in life. They can make you happy and they can make you sad, right? And we're a church of relationships. You're a personal relationships. That's how you thrive. And so I'm going to bring out some extra notes. And these are for the extra note people. Amen. If you're real spiritual, you do extra notes. Amen. Nurture important relationships. You should do that. There, I would think that your marriage is real important, right? Two people said amen. Amen. God help all the married. They're important, does it, that you nurture. Amen. If you're a single person in this room today, you know, you're looking for that somebody, give me a good amen. I could ask you to raise your hand and everybody could look around, but I won't do that this service, right? But nurture important relationships. I think your church is probably pretty important. The elders, do they know you? Does the pastor know you? Does your small group leader know you? You need to nurture those relationships. Restore broken relationships. If you're like me and you live on an earth that's fallen, there are probably broken relationships. They may not be, I want them to be healed on this side of heaven, but they may not be healed until heaven. In the meantime, broken relationships, maybe they deserve prayer. The highest thing that you could do to honor a person is to pray for them. I'm going to pray for them, all right? I'm going to pray that God hits them over the head because with, no, pray that God would bless them. Out of your mouth, say, because Jesus said, pray for those, even that are your enemies, right? And despitefully use you, pray for them, pray for those people. And just like I did, Lord, would you bless that person? It came out of my mouth. I didn't want to say it from my heart, but you know what? I began to practice it. Now it's in my heart. You're no different than I am. Sever harmful relationships, right? There are things, if they're not right, then you sever them. If they're not bringing you victory, well, I'm going to be the light of the world going into that place. No, you're not strong enough. Jesus was known as a friend of sinners because he went into the bars. He probably went into the place that were distant. But you know what? He didn't drink with them. He didn't light up with them. He didn't shoot up with them. You know what? He ruined the party. No, he didn't. He became the party. You may not be able to go into the places of darkness yet. So that's why you need to sever harmful relationships because they're not bringing you the victory that you need. Now, if you're strong enough to go into the dark places and be the light and come out untouched, amen. Amen. That's awesome. But some things need to be, you just need to wave far away. Hey, I'm not going to see you for 5 years. We may not text anymore because it's harming your relationship. Can I hear a good amen? Initiate, finally, some meaningful relationships. That means you start. You say hello. If you're single, you might want to say hello to her. Give me a good amen if you're a guy. If you're a girl, amen. It's okay to smile at him. Amen. That may be a blessing in disguise. Initiate. Amen. Going to go on match.com. I don't know about that, but, you know, amen. But you're going to, amen, you're going to initiate. You're not in a small group. You're going to maybe join a small group because you want to be part of your church. Amen. In the life. Give me a good amen. Am I preaching to the right people today? Because I almost turned into another church this morning, but maybe they weren't the right. I want to make sure. Maybe I ended up in the wrong church this morning. Y'all are quiet this morning. Amen. What do you do if you've blown it? Samson blew it. He had wasted opportunity. He had things that he shouldn't have done and that he did. What I've noticed about relationship is you ladies, you're kind of special. The ladies of faith in this room, you get your worth by relationships. Pretty amazing. I mean, you don't do anything alone. Why didn't you text me after 42 seconds? Why did it take so long for you to text me? You hug, you cry. Relationships are everything, all right? I noticed you guys don't even go to the restroom alone. You have to go in groups. Packs of women in the restroom, and the door opens. You hear all this stuff going on in the restroom, and the door closes, and it shuts down. Amen. I wonder what y'all talk about in there. Amen. Just amen. Amen. Men more often. Amen. Men are a little bit different, though. We don't. You ever notice a man never says, "Hey, let's go to the restroom together." If you do go into the restroom with another man or another man's in there, there are rules. Or we take away your man card. You don't make eye contact. Do not make eye contact. I was just in there and this guy was singing. What was that about? Amen. He's out in the hall. Amen. Give me a good amen. There he is. Singing. Amen. And washing my hands, he's washing his hands, and he starts to talk to me. because he knows, you know, just, okay, we can look at each other in the mirror. Men, our greatest thing is we want to accomplish, we want to conquer, we want to achieve, we want to win, we want that respect. A man's greatest fear is failure. And the greatest regret that we have is that, and the greatest pain that we have today. Maybe betrayal came into your home or into your marriage and your covenant, and maybe you're not married, and as a man, you're thinking, I could have been married, or you got caught doing something, am I ever going to get ahead, or you're miserable, and for the marriage, you know, we're only married for the kids, and there's broken promises and so forth, and Samson's story shows us just because you fail doesn't mean you're a failure. There's a past in all of our stories here. If I could speak to each one of you for 30 minutes and just tell me your story. And if you were truthful and we opened each other up and we talked to each other heart to heart, I would tell you my failure story. And you would tell me your failure story. And we'd say, you know what? We need Jesus. We still need God. Amen. Baxter Allen, when I served at Dominguez Prison with him, he's a great Baptist minister at Leon Valley Baptist. And we would go into the Dominguez jail every Thursday years ago. And Baxter, as an older man, he would gather the dorm there at Dominguez. And I remember, you know, as he taught God's word, probably wouldn't every time, one of the men would come to him there and said, man, you teach so good, and you prayed for me so well. And I would always hear Baxter say something like this: all I am is a blind beggar walking with another blind beggar towards the cross of redemption. In other words, he says, I haven't arrived. I still need God in my life. And so do we today, right, everybody? We need God in our lives today. Samson's story said, you know, as much as I fail today, if I get up again, God can win through my life. Number one is this: a failure is not an event. A failure is an event. It's never a... And those on the internet, you'll see the messages right there. It's dropped where you can have the notes right in front of you. All have failed. We all have a story, a failure in this room today. And it could have been as just yesterday that we failed. And you're here in this place as a person of redemption, that God can rewrite a story. In Samson's life, he's a person that fails over and over. Guy couldn't get it right. You even say, why are you telling her your secret over and over? She's going to tell you, and you're going to get your head. Don't you see what's coming? Wake up, stupid. Don't you want to, when you read God's word in Judges, you want to tell him, hey, do that. You know what the good news is today? You may be down, but you're not out today. Amen. Samson was down, but he wasn't out. And there's this holy place for the Philistines, and it was their temple, but it was like a coliseum. They're worshiping their god, and it's called Dagon. And look at with me in Judges chapter 16, verse 23. Now the rulers of the Philistine assembled. Now the Philistine, them assembling, was probably about 3,000 to 5,000 people. Again, a coliseum, and they're all giving their thanks to their little god, Dagon. Dagon was the god of harvest for them, and he was a manfish. He had the torso of a man and the lower end of a fish. He was the first Aquaman. Isn't that terrible? Yeah, Marvel doesn't have anything on them, right? And their god, and they celebrated saying, our god has delivered us from Samson, our enemy, into our hands. And there he is, blinded, grinding, and they're making sport of him like a, again. And when the people saw Samson, they praised their god, their little g. Our god has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste to our land. In the stories of Samson being such a legend of faith, he tied 150 lamps or lanterns or on the back of foxes, and they burned up the land as they ran through the land. Imagine the damage that he caused on their harvest, right? And so, and he multiplied our slain. He took a jawbone of a donkey, and he opened up a can on them, killed 1,000 men, and he kicked their, well, we did it with a jawbone, right, everybody? PG-13, is that okay with everybody? And while they were in high spirits, they shouted, bring out Samson to entertain us. And so they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. 100% shame. It doesn't get any lower than that. And what an ugly, massive failure that you see a man that had so much potential. There are two responses to failure. Are you all with me this morning? Two responses are, the Bible says this in Corinthians 7. Hey, you haven't had any fun all day. Let's read God's word together on three. Are you ready? This side, are you ready? Back row. Can y'all see that on the big screen? Yeah. Let's read it together on three. One, two, three. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings. And so there's life there if we do God's word. And so there's two natural responses to remorse. Remorse, I feel bad. I'm a horrible person. I got caught. I hate myself. And that sort of thing. And you cry a crocodile tear. I'm never going to do that again. And you start even blaming people. He could have blamed Delilah. She, you know, shimmied in front of me and I watched her. And then that she seducted, you know, she so seduced me. And she kept nagging me day after day. And he's crying. He could have had that sort of remorse today. And it's natural remorse. Could have, why me? Why did my hair have to get cut? Look how I look and all that remorse. And that's worldly. And that brings death. We're never going to arrive where God wants us if that's all you feel after you commit, after you fail today. There's a better response. Somebody say repentance. Repentance. Repentance, all it is you're going down the wrong way and I'm turning around. I'm going to go this way, right? I'm not going to keep going down the path of destruction. Repentance is a good word, right? I'm sorry. I own it. It's my fault. Boy, I got used to saying that. How about you? God entrusted me with something. I blew it. I got to apologize. I've noticed that the more mercy that not only I try to get, it's because I've asked for mercy from God. How about you? One day you're going to need mercy. And the merciful are shown mercy. So in other words, you need to be that person that's not arrived, right, everybody? Because we all need mercy today. Amen? And so he took the steps and he blew it. How many know that group texting is pretty cool? Group texting now, spiritual. Is that okay with everybody? You get on group text. You know, our family has a group text and we named it La Familia. Sleep with the fishes. Yeah, we named it that. My son hijacked it because it's Irma, myself, Andrew, and Rebecca. It's La Familia. It's just the four of us. And it's a great tool to communicate with each other, to pray for each other. And so Andrew hijacked it once, and you can do that if you're in the group, and he named it Andrew and the Gang. It's a little punk. My son's a punk. Amen. He's 22. He's a punk. Still a punk. So no, we're not going to switch. We switched it back to La Familia, right? And so group texting is good, but you got to be careful with group texting, right? You might send something. And so Irma and I, you know, hey, Song of Solomon, romance, we did that series. We like to practice some hot texts, amen, every now and then. And yeah, we're, you know, I have one, you know, her thing is my honey. That's it, man, my honey. I got her on my picture of her. She looks hot, man. I look at her, baby, there you are, right? And so how many know you can never unsend a text that you've already sent? Yeah, you know what's coming. So, and I just wish Irma would leave me alone at night. I just want to, can we just snuggle tonight? But I'm a beast of burden, man. I just, here I go again. And so one time, I'm texting multiple people just like you get involved too much on your phone and La Familia, my honey. And, you know, I think, hey, I'm going to send her something, you know, that is hot and just for her and, you know, about the way she looks. And so I sent her something that was probably, you know, Song of Solomon style, sent it. But I noticed it was, and have you ever pushed something and you go, no, no. And it was La Familia, and I sent her, and not only I hot text her, but I hot text my daughter and hot text my son. It really happened. So the next time that I saw Rebecca, which was sooner, Rebecca did this, ew, dad. Ew, whatever they do, you know. And then Andrew just looked at me like this. That's my dad. Better go, dad. You rock. Yeah. You can't unsend and you can't unsin. Once you've sinned, you can't unsin. You can only repent. And so you can't unsleep with a person that you slept with that wasn't your husband, your wife. You can repent, though. You can't undo the bad deal that you were involved in, but you can repent. You can't undo what you looked at, what you said, what you did, but you can repent. And so remorse is looking backwards, like, oh no, I did it again, but repentance is looking forward. Don't let your past limit your opportunities for what the cross can do in your future. And repentance, amen, everybody. And Samson, instead of feeling sorry for himself because he had done that, as he's grinding and he remembers, you know what? My life was meant to glorify God. I was separated for birth as a Nazirite, a priest, a judge, that I was supposed to deliver people. And he's grinding blind. He says, I'm not meant to live this way. This isn't supposed to be my end. And many of us in this room, we're going to end up the wrong way. I don't know what time it is, but you're not meant to live that way. You're not meant to be addicted. You're not meant to have that marriage bad. You're not meant to raise your children that way. You're meant to be a real dad, a real mom. You're not meant to even, this church is meant to see your gift rise. That's the way you're supposed to end. And you're supposed to glorify God. It's not about you. It's about God. And when finally Samson saw that, it was about Jesus. That's when he began to see again, even as a blind man. Do y'all understand that today? Repentance in your life will change your life now, and it will change your future right now. And so in Judges chapter 16, verse, when he stood among the pillars, Samson said to the servant, a little boy led him. He said, put my hand where I can feel the pillars that support the temple so I may lean against them. And Samson prayed to the Lord. And you ever pray that prayer that you really mean it? It ain't like you're praying for your hamburger, but you're really praying. And Samson finally got to that moment where it was spiritual warfare. It was something that was going to have to change in his life. And even if it meant the death of them, he wasn't going to stay the same man that he once was. And many of us are a breath away from, we need to die right now of our flesh and pray a spiritual prayer. He said, Sovereign Lord, remember me. I was dedicated for a purpose. I was meant to be something greater than this in you, Lord. And oh God, please strengthen me just once more. God, if I can live one more time, if I can do this thing one more time, I want to glorify you. I want to live for you today. And we need to be at that point that we're with all of our strength, with all of our might. God, change me at this moment. Do you understand that day? He was broken and he needed mercy. And God gave it to him because God's real close to that today. Amen. Yeah, the main character finally became the main character when it wasn't about him, it was about God today. Do you understand that today? You know why you're blessed? To be a blessing. And so the purpose of his strength wasn't ever so he could flex and be this Casanova guy scoping out the chicks. It was about him being a blessing to other people. You're blessed. You're given so much so you can bless other people. That's your purpose today. It's no different from Samson. Samson was to be a blessing to his people. You're to be a blessing to other people. His words of encouragement today would be, protect the anointing, protect the presence of God. The anointing is the presence of God. And when you lose that, you've lost everything. Protect it. The Bible says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. And it's not about the song service getting good and revival breaking out. That's all good. But you know what the presence of God is? It's your assignment. It's when you're working to God and you're serving people. You're supposed to do more of that. You're supposed to stoke the flame. You've been on one mission trip. You're supposed to go on many more mission trips. You've taught children's ministry. You're supposed to keep teaching children's ministry. Amen. You reached John Jay once, the high school. You're to continue to reach them. Amen. You've clothed people, you've done it all. You're supposed to finish the closet. Give me a good amen. Amen. Finish what God's told you to do and keep doing at it. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Continue. God can use you. You have a unique ability that nobody else has. Samson had muscles. What do you got? Amen. You have something to offer today. When a person's down, thank God that they're not out. Are you breathing this morning? Some of you, you're asleep, amen, but you're still breathing, amen. Some of the best naps I've ever taken were in church while I was preaching, amen. Second point is this: even in our failures, God can still accomplish his purposes. Aren't you glad for that faith statement? His purpose in God: I'm supposed to deliver bad guys. I'm supposed to deliver my people from bad guys today. And you have a purpose also. It says that Samson reached out. Look at this. With the two central pillars that held up the building. And he pushed against them. One with his right, one with his left. And he says, let me die with the Philistine. There's some theology sometimes that's not biblical that says, well, he went to hell because he committed suicide. No, he didn't go to hell because he's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 as a great cloud of witnesses. He's a story of faith. Amen? Amen. And so he probably should have ended right. And he made his choice. But look what he did today. Even in his end, he glorified God. And Samson pushed hard with all of his might. And the building crashed on all the tyrants and all the people in it. And he killed more people in his death than he killed in his whole life today. The 19 years that Samson was a judge, he probably annihilated or killed the enemies of God about 1,000 people. That's still a lot, right? But in his death, he killed over 3,000, 5,000 potential people. In the last 2 minutes of his life, he had more of an impact than he ever had throughout his whole life. And I think that's somebody in this room today, my spirit, my heart is saying towards you today, well, I've lived past my halfway point. What good am I now? What good am I in my lifetime right now? In the final moments, the last season of your life, you know that God can do more than he did the latter? The former will be greater than the latter, the Bible says. I speak that over your heart today, right, everybody? Amen. You know that in the infinite, this church is like 20 years old, 21 from the beginning of the living room to now in this building, 10:30 service. But you know what they're going to say back in legacy days, like 100 years from now? By the way, well, Jesus is coming back. They've been saying that for about 100 years. They've been saying that 2,000 years. Now, I believe Jesus should come back. We just did that series, anticipated. I want it just like you want it today. But if he doesn't, do you know what your grandchildren would say if they know that you're a member of this church? They're going to say, you know, Grandpa, he loved that church. He gave everything. He bled and died there with the pastor. That mountain that they went up, they stayed on that mountain. They fought off the enemy. They saw it. They believed that they would reach a high school, a whole high school. And look, we're doing it now. The grandchildren are there. Maybe there's something established even for them, or maybe this whole building is turned into a youth center because we're building another building and we're taking over Dollar General and we're taking over property. You never know what God will do, right? All because that, see, that's legacy. And again, what will be done, what will be said of you about your legacy of this church? You know what they're going to say about you as a personal person as it comes back down? Well, Dad struggled, Mom struggled, because they all know. Your children know what you struggle with. You can't hide it. Some of them are wide open knowing it. But they still loved God to the very end. They overcame. He finally kicked the habit. He finally got over that addiction. They had that marriage that we glean our marriage from. Amen? They raised their children in the house of God. They raised me in this house, and they made a difference. Oh, for that person today that's believing God for your home today, that God would come back and just be in, that you would have the presence of God in your home. It's coming to you. It's coming to you because if you lift your hand even right now, there's miracles in the house. God's doing something. Lift your hands right now. Oh, God, how we want you in our homes individually, Lord, that we're lights to our neighborhood, to our block. You can have that right now. Thank you, God. Fill this place with the light bearers, Lord, for their neighborhood in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for what you're doing at this moment, that God is returning to our homes today. That's a request that we have, Father. We're not asking to win the lotto. We're not asking to win a scratch ticket. God, we want you in our home, and if we have that, we're rich. To God be the glory. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. It's never too late to do what God's told you to do and what God has commissioned you to do. Amen. Well, I can't do it, and yeah, and you're a whiner. Stop whining. You have the resurrection power of Jesus within you as a believer. Rise up today. And this is a question. What pillars are you going to push down? Samson pushed down his pillars. Today, we push down the pillars of pride, lust, anger, amen, greed, comparison, regret. We got to push. And you're in a spiritual battle. You try to push these things in the natural with your personality, your strength. Well, I got this. I can do it. Just give me a week. Give me this season. I'm going to do it till the end of the year. No, 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 no. It's a spiritual battle. It ends now. It should. But if you keep, how are you going to do it? If you keep doing the same thing that you've been doing and you still have the same results, don't you think you ought to be doing something different on your approach? You have the same move. You got to think of a new move, right? So you get something different in your life. Maybe for some of us that are addicted, you need to go to Christian rehab. Go check yourself in and get free. Maybe you need to go to a professional counselor that's Christian. Maybe you need to join a small group. I'm going to do something different. Maybe if you call yourself a member of the church at Living Faith, you're going to come more than once a month. I don't know. What is it that you're going to do differently so you get a better result and you're finally free and you push down those things that have held you in bondage? I don't know what you need to do, but you got to do something different. Amen? I'm going to become a real dad. I really want to become a real dad. Well, then you're going to spend time with your kids, right? You're going to do something differently. You're going to become a real husband. You're going to do something different. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:16, I got to hurry. For the lovers of God who loves God, amen, may suffer adversity, may stumble seven times, but when they continue to rise over and over again, but they will continue to rise over and over again. Do you know what makes that man a winner or that woman a winner right there that love God? Is that they keep getting up again. In the church house, well, hey, let's pray for them. They stumbled, they messed up once. Let's pray. They came back again. They got messed up again, second time. Let's pray for him again. Let's believe. The third time, okay, pastor needs to see him. Don't do that. Amen. In the name of Jesus, don't do that. Pastor needs to pray for him. Pastor needs to pray for him. No, you can pray for them. Amen. I'd rather them to stay with you. Jesus' name. Amen. Fourth time, man, and the whole church needs to fast and pray. That demon needs to come out. Five, six times. They keep messing up, right? Would we give up on them? Some of y'all have, amen. Y'all say spiritual stuff in this room, but you're human, amen. Seven times, and they still call that man a lover of God. They call that woman a righteous person, and all because they get up again. You can't keep a good man down, right? And the lovers of God, amen, they won't quit. They'll get up again. If a burglar came into your house at night, you as a man, you're the first one up. Amen. You may have that stick, that bat. Amen. We got all sorts of weapons at the Nava's house. I know it's kind of, but I kind of want somebody to break in. No. I finally get to use this. Amen. Because you would die. I would die to defend my family. I would die to defend this church. Amen. You're my brother. I would do that because I don't want to die that way, but I would die because my family's... And Samson died that way. He died once. You know what's hard? That's great. Hero, fourth grade, children's Sunday school story forever. Yay, Samson. But you know what's harder? To live for God for a lifetime. That's why Paul, the apostle, said this. He said, I die daily to Christ. I am crucified with every day I die. I'm not. Do you know what the purpose that I have? It's to shepherd you, of course. But you know my purpose at times? It's corrected me from bad behavior. I got to get this thing right. I got to preach Sunday morning. So my purpose, I'm not a pastor, but you have a purpose from God. And that's why you should be so involved that you show up. Not that we're doing okay without you, but you have a mission, an assignment that people count on you to be that light, to help. Amen. Every one of us in this room has that today. You're going to do it harder, not once. You're going to die daily to yourself and live for Christ today. Give your heart to Christ daily today. Amen. All of us are going to fail. And our worst fear shouldn't be if we're a failure, but we're succeeding at the things that don't matter. Years ago, we dedicated, I'm going to conclude. Years ago, we dedicated the student center. I don't know how long it's been, but we got it remodeled, and that was our church for the season that we were in. We would pack everybody into that church. Do y'all remember that, that have been with us? It was packed. I would put my feet on the, I sat on the front row, and I would put my feet on the stairs because that's how close we were of packing everybody in for two services, right? That's how close we had to be to, and it was an amazing time in our church. And when we dedicated our church, we kind of got our CFO. I have a boss. I have somebody, I'm not my own thing. I'm not doing what I want. At that time, my district supervisor, his name was Charlie Krause. Now I got a great lady named Wendy Nolasco that's our district supervisor. So I've had all these godfathers, capos, chiefs, amen, under guy, you know, they're the heads of the five family, amen. And so Charlie Krause came as my godfather, as my district supervisor, my boss. And he dedicated, he said I told him I didn't really have everything ready, but I said, Pastor Krause, how can I introduce you to the people about your accomplishments? Because he had pastored many churches. He had pioneered many churches. He was probably a man in his late 50s and 60s, maybe early. And he'd done a lot. And he looked at me, and I was on the front row, and he said these words that I'll never forget. I said, how can I introduce you, pastors? Tell me of your accomplishments. And he looked at me as a young guy, and he said, you know what? Let me not tell you of my success. Let me tell you of my failures. Let me tell you when that church ran me off. Let me tell you when that church didn't want me anymore as their pastor. Let me tell you about how I struggled in my relationships. Let me tell you about all the things that I failed. Would you introduce me that way? And I went, chill out, dude. I don't want to, you're taking this thing too seriously. But he taught me something today. All of us have failed. All of us have done something. And I want to leave you with these thoughts as I read the final scripture. And as you hear it, don't quit. It's too early. You're still breathing. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't quit. It's too early to quit, right? And the third principle, as I see it, is this. You've been waiting for the fill in the blank, OCD people. Who is the real hero in this story? It's not Samson. It's God. Because when we were faithless and Samson was blind and Samson was using his own strength and he was wooing women, doing all the wrong things that he should have been doing, God still was faithful to him. God still loved him. And God still loves you, and he cannot disown himself because you're his child. I won't disown Andrew Nava. I won't disown Rebecca because they're our children, right? They're always going to have a... God, you're his child today. You're the child of God. He can't disown you today. And Samson came, and he was shackled, and he was broken before God. He came blind, and God still turned to him. He was useless. And God still turned to him. His hair began to grow. And that's where God wanted him, right at that place. The final scripture says this, Micah 7:8, don't gloat over me, my enemy, devil. You not today. Not today, devil. You're not going to gloat over me today. It's not going to be today. Though I have fallen, I will arise. And though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Amen. Yeah. The world is yet to see a man and a woman that's fully devoted to God. The Bible says that if you completely give yourself over to God, the world is yet to see that heart full of faith. What will God do in your lifetime during this moment right now? Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray that your Spirit would work deep in our heart and your word would not return void today. Father, do something significant. Again, I've said things and preached, but Holy Spirit, you're the one that does the work. Do the healing that needs to. There's been people that failed in this room, along with myself, the chief sinner. No matter what we've done in our past, God, you created us to be something of purpose, your child. We have a calling in this room. And so I thank you. They would venture out and they would begin today. They're the halftime. has happened, Lord, in the locker room today. We have our marching orders. We're supposed to do what God's told us to do. If that's you right now and you're meant to do the things that God's called you to do, just lift your hand slightly above your lap. Thank you. Pour into God's people right now that significance, that purpose, their uniqueness, Lord. They're created unique, God. No one else has their thumbprints, God, their personalities. There's an essence about that person. We love, God, we love them, but you love them even more. And you'll see it come to pass that this day, Lord, we cry out to you. Say, well, I got to get ready. No, come, the mercy of God, blind right now. Your hair's growing, God. Yeah, the hair is beginning to grow. That's where God, we have mercy on us, Lord. We need your mercy in this room. Thank you, God. What is it that God's called you to do? What pillars do you need to push down? And how are you going to do it differently today so you get a different result? As I continue to pray, how many bad things can you do before God can't use you? Can you lie so much that God can't use you? Can you cheat? Can you steal so much? Can you get drunk that God can't use you? Can you murder? How far can you go? No one knows. No one will ever know, because God won't reject anybody that will come to him in repentance. Say, Lord, I need to change. God will never reject you today. If you come to him and you turn to him and you repent, turn so there's life, not death. Remorse is death. It brings godly sorrow, brings repent today. Jesus pushed down the pillars of the debt of sin, all the sin that you've committed. There was a price to be paid. You can pay it, but you don't want to do that. You want Jesus to pay for your sins. You make confession, let him take over your life today. And this time, the pillars are coming down. Your eyes are open today. You're going to do what God's told you to do today. Amen. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. If that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to ask that your hands slightly lifted, every head bowed, every eye closed. Just lift up your hand in the presence of God. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to note your hand. I'll lead you in a prayer. If that's you, yes, God bless you. Somebody else, God bless you. Yes, about five of you lifted your hands. You can put them down. You can put them before God. You lifted them before the Lord today. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says that we're crucified with Christ. We should have died on the cross, but Jesus took our payment. Well, now we die daily to our sinful desires. You're a disciple of Jesus. Follow him. Follow Jesus today. A prayer like this, you can whisper it to the Lord. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. You died for me. I want to live for you. You're saying something like that in your heart today, especially if you lifted your hand. I want to have a new beginning in my life. I want God to come into my life today. You're accepted by God. You have family. Yeah, the family God. God says, welcome home. You've been gone too long. I welcome you home today. Thank you, God, for the touch of Jesus upon that individual, the individuals, the five, the six that lifted their hand. Lord, I seal it right now in the name of Jesus. The work of God to continue. God, you've given them something great to do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for new life at Living Faith Church. New souls. My brother Chuck wrote a song called Home Run, and I think it's almost out. You can go on his YouTube channel, but I love home runs. Amen. Because home runs and touchdowns and all that, man, that's what it's about, right? You get a home run, and don't you? But altar calls are even better than that. People coming home, right? Are even better than that. Amen, everybody. So thank God for new life. If that's you, there's a connect card in front of you. Would you fill that out? Let me know if you're right at the very top. I'm renewing my life to Christ. I'm giving my life. Check that little dot out. Fill it out. Darken it in and check it off. And make sure I get that back. I'll pray for you this week. The Growing in Faith class happens at 9 a.m. It's our basic track towards discipleship. Do that, amen. Be there at 9 a.m. It's free. See Diane Ruiz. She'll probably be at the information table. She can give you more information about that. If you have a prayer request, Irma and I keep those close at our table. We eat every day, so we're going to pray every day, right? We love those. We look at those and we say, you know what, this one's going through this, or your family or that sort of thing. They're important to us. We pray, pray, pray. Amen. One last blessing as we go off, even and we lift our hands towards the heavens right now, towards above our lap. One last blessing. Would you receive the high priestly blessing from Aaron right now? May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you, and may the Lord give you his peace. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. Would our worship team come up? Amen. We're almost going to be dismissed, but we wanted to give tribute. Memorial Day is something that's very special again in our country. It's something sacred. Let's watch media that gives them tribute. And I love the voice of Ronald Reagan over the video. You'll enjoy it too.
In a way, an odd thing to honor those who died in defense of our country, in defense of us, in wars far away. The imagination plays a trick. We see these soldiers in our mind as old and wise. We see them as something like the founding fathers, grave and gray-haired. But most of them were boys when they died, and they gave up two lives, the one they were living and the one they would have lived. When they died, they gave up their chance to be husbands and fathers and grandfathers. They gave up their chance to be revered old men. They gave up everything for our country, for us. We owe them a debt we can never repay. All we can do is remember them, what they did, and why they had to be brave for us.
God be the glory. And great men and women that have given their life and as a sacrifice for our freedoms that we hold today. We have church today, Father, because of blood that's been paid, even on foreign soil, for us to have a church right now and meet. So we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, our tithe and offering is going to be received by the family of God. Again, if you're visiting for the first time, we usually do this appeal that this is our gift back to you, amen. A son and daughter of the house gives so the bills are paid. The lights are left on. There are several ways that we do that. They're on the screen today. We dedicate the tithe and offering to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Prove me now, saith the Lord, that I would not rebuke, that I would not rebuke the devourer for your sake, that I would bless you. And Lord, we take it all in today, the blessing of God upon our physical life today, our emotions, Father, are sound because of this act, God, right now. It's worship unto you. You're healing us, Lord. You're making a way for us today. Spiritually, we're blessed today. This act of generosity, Lord, thank you that you would not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that we would not be able to contain. Thank you, God. We're obedient people. Generosity comes our way. We love you, Lord. We love our church. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you as you give. You stand and worship with me. Would you join me in giving?
Earth.